Welcome to the Full Tracy Muddy Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:11 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is April 4th. Well, Platinum today was the clear leader and broke up and away from the $875 area, which has represented a region of resistance since at least November. When we look at that on a weekly basis, then it really is clearing the region of the trend mean. It looks like a base formation completion, although the base is relatively short term in nature. That is increasing the potential that we're going to see a run back up towards the $1,000 area. But I think that people are starting to play the pairs trade, because palladium has pulled back sharply again in here today. This looks like a distribution below the peak. It greatly increases the scope that we are going to see at least a reversion back towards the mean, and potentially more than that. We can see it graphically when we just look at the two instruments on the same chart. Rather than looking at the ratio, we can see, for example, that with palladium now starting to go down, it's acted as a bullish catalyst for platinum. And a point I was making yesterday is that there is ample potential for platinum to be substituted for palladium when you've got this massive price differential. In fact, I think when we think about the march of the electric vehicles, and there's obviously that isn't something that has really impacted demand for internal combustion engines really just yet, but that's inevitable at some stage. So these kinds of arbitrages are probably not going to be to exist in perpetuity, but they certainly exist today. And what I've been puzzled by over the last few months is that nobody's been discussing this, despite the fact that the article from Johnson Matthey I posted yesterday is from 2007. Well, when we look at other commodity markets, UK natural gas is also, I think, really quite interesting. It's been accelerating lower. It had an upside key reversal yesterday and followed through on the upside in here today. So that would suggest at least a low of near-term significance and the potential for a reversion back towards the mean. And it has more than halved since the peak back in November. Well, part of the reason why we've had such weak natural gas prices is because a surfeit of supply has arrived. And that is most particularly the case because of LNG. In the USA right now, the US is pumping more than 12 million barrels of oil a day. And that's a rather significant quantity. It brings it above what Saudi Arabia can potentially bring to the market. So I think that's rather important. The price of crude oil is in the region of the trend mean, and it was in negative territory in here today, but certainly nothing in the way of dynamic moves. But the bigger picture is that US oil production is very much tied to gas production, and it has been so prolific recently that the price of natural gas at the Western Texas hub near El Paso went negative. So you have negative natural gas prices. We saw this kind of phenomenon previously in Texas, where we've had negative electricity prices because of the quantity of wind turbine activity that has driven the price down. But what that also means is that there is an excess of supply. There is a global market evolving for liquefied natural gas. That's a clear bull market potential. It also suggests that we're going to get a global price for natural gas, and it does suggest that the Henry Hub price is going to become the benchmark for natural gas pricing internationally. Well, that is really quite bullish for the LNG market because of increased flows and demand. But it's a significant tailwind for the global economy, because now in an increasing number of jurisdictions, but most particularly in the USA, that there is a clear argument for using natural gas over coal. And that is likely to become a more important factor internationally as well. So I think that's one of the more important upshots that we've seen from the unconventional oil and gas potential here, that we are getting a clear reordering of the energy and therefore the geopolitical landscape internationally. Well, when we look at what's been going on in terms of Wall Street, the S&P 500 was in positive territory, not by very much, but still marching higher. And it's right in the region of the peaks from back in November and in August, and it's a little bit overbought in the short term. So it wouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibility that we get some pause of consolidation in this area, and I think that has to be the base case, considering that we've had such an impressive rally over the first 3 months of this year. When we look at what's been going on in Europe, then the European markets have continued to push higher, but again, not in a dynamic manner in here today, just about unchanged, but it is at a new recovery high. There's a higher, there's a progression of higher reaction lows evidence since December. It's above the trend mean. It's been consolidating and then breaking up out of ranges. As long as it continues to do that, I think people are going to continue to be reasonably sanguine about the outlook for the market. But more importantly now, the Euro stocks, which is the broad index, is above the lower side of the overhead trading range. And that 200-day moving average is starting to turn upwards once more. I think there is a clear potential that the ECB is going to re-engage with quantitative easing, and the size of the ECB's balance sheet has stopped advancing over the course of the last few weeks. But it certainly isn't contracting, and in fact, it did pop on the upside last week. Well, I guess that would be the last time it was reported, which was on the 29th. But that's clear evidence now that we are starting to get more stimulus starting to flow back into Europe. And that's particularly important for the banking sector, because banks have started to stabilize, and European banks have been largely written off by investors. The index is coming back up towards the 100-point level. That is coinciding with the region of the trend mean. If we get a break on the upside, then we can start to talk about medium-term support having been found at the lower side of the 7-year range, and that holds out the prospect for a rally back up towards the upper side of the range, which is approximately a 50% advance if we consider that the upper side of the range is around the 150 area. And the thing that would drive that higher is additional stimulus and perhaps some additional tolerance for fiscal spending among an increasing number of the members of the Eurozone. When we look at some of those individual banks, I think the ones that are particularly interesting are those like Santander, because that has now got a higher reaction low. It is just about pushing through the region of the trend mean, and it has already broken the downtrend from last year. Of course, what's interesting about Santander is that it has a large business in Latin America, and so does BBVA. They're both back above their respective trend means, and they are the only two banks in Europe that generate more money from outside the Eurozone than from within it. Now, when we look at the Italian index, despite the fact that the economy is the growth forecasts for Italy were downgraded to 0.1 of 1%, which is as close to a contraction as one might like to wish. Well, that's a very narrow margin for error. The the stock market continues to rally. Well, that obviously then also helps to ram home the point that you buy companies, not countries. But the reality is that the Italian market is responding to the potential for additional stimulus. And that really does look like the most likely scenario. Then when we look at the A-share index in Shanghai, then it was in positive territory again in here today, up another percent, and or just about, and it is continuing to extend the breakout from the short-term range. China's market is responding favorably to the continued belief that there's going to be an additional source of credit coming through. And that's obviously a very significant factor as well. So the Chinese market is back on a reflationary footing. Then people in China in particular are starting to price in the potential that there is going to be a favorable outcome to the trade war. Liu He is in Washington right now and discussing what the next steps are going to be in terms of a settlement. I rather think that there is going to be a settlement for the simple reason that President Trump probably wants to get re-elected, and it's going to be very hard to do if the USA has a recession. So I think that's a rather important factor. Now, there was an article that I saw in here today, and I'll reproduce it. It was this: a belief in meritocracy is not only false, it's bad for you. That runs almost the entire tone of the article is basically that one's or the luck that one has and the upbringing that one has a much bigger bearing on success than meritocracy. And it's a well-argued piece, but the much bigger point is it runs very clearly in the face of the kinds of arguments that Howard Marks was making about the capitalist model and the promotion of hard work as something that can help to get one ahead. I really think that there is a clear, I think, collectivist mood among the media right now. It's also among the voters, and the left is on the ascendancy, and that is a very clear and present danger to the stock market. If we continue to see this rise in left-wing populism among some of the bastions of the capitalist establishment, then that is likely to have a deleterious effect on stock markets. So it is, I think, a point that we really do need to continue to monitor. What I think is also very clear is that we have been able to persist for decades without really having to worry about politics. And now we do, and that represents an additional risk premium. I talked about this exact same kind of argument with China a year ago because of the risk premium that was attached as a result of Xi Jinping deciding that he was going to be leader for life and essentially installing himself as king. Well, if we have political risk premia now being attached where we didn't have to attach them before, that commands an additional risk premium for Wall Street. And that means we have to pay particular attention to the consistency of trends. And when we see that the price is coming back up towards the upper side of the range, and we have a short-term overbought condition, and it is trading below this very big psychological 3,000-point level, well, I don't think it is too bearish to consider that we're going to get at least some consolidation. Then the big question is the extent to which the progression of higher reaction lows is going to hold, and then whether we're going to see a higher reaction low put in if we get a deeper pullback. In other words, is the market going to find support above the December lows? That's the really big question. And I suspect that we're going to get an answer to that before the end of this year. So that's one of the more important points, I suspect, when we look at the global outlook and the fact that Wall Street does have this leash effect. Well, the Nasdaq continues to outperform, but it was in negative territory in here today. It is a lot closer to its peaks from back in September than the S&P 500 is, and I think it is quite likely we're going to get some additional consolidation in this area as well. The Philadelphia Semiconductors Index has rallied to new closing highs over the course of the last few days. Now, this is purely on the back of speculation that there is going to be a favorable outcome to the trade war. If that does not turn out to be the case, then the chances are that we're going to get at least some consolidation. The big question is, having pushed on to new recovery highs, whether it is going to hold them. That's, I think, going to be the rather big question that investors are going to start asking. But meanwhile, we are starting to see greater enthusiasm for the mining sector. We had pretty impressive breakouts yesterday. The FTSE 350 mining index, however, was in negative territory in here today. Now the question is whether it is going to hold this move above the 20,000 point level. That represents the upper side of this rather symmetrical looking base formation. And I rather do think that there is the potential for some consolidation, but as long as it holds the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And it is really quite normal to expect that we should get an additional move in the commodity markets in the latter stages of a medium-term bull market. The biotechnology sector is also highly cyclical within the technology sector, and it has been firming within its range over the course of the last couple of weeks. Generally speaking, the semiconductor index is also highly cyclical, but broadly speaking, the kinds of companies that now represent the largest weightings in the Nasdaq and the S&P 500, all being from the technology sector, however one wants to define that term, are less cyclical now than they used to be for the simple reason that they've all adopted the subscription business model, and that has given greater visibility to their cash flows, which has allowed the market to command or to assign them a higher valuation. And that's one of the reasons why they continue to outperform, because of that the visibility that investors have on their ability to continue to earn outsized margins and profits. Now, when we look at currencies, the euro in here today was in mildly negative territory. It continues to pause around the 112 area, and there hasn't been a clear upward dynamic in a while. If the ECB engages once more in quantitative easing, then that is likely to represent a headwind for the euro, and it still has this very clear sequence of lower rally highs, which remains intact. So I think that's also a significant factor in favor of additional nominal price appreciation in European stock markets. There is a clear potential that Europe is going to start to do better. The fact that the banking sector is starting to find support once again, that non-performing loan problems are starting to trend downwards, that the Greek market has now got some debt forgiveness to bolster it. What that suggests is that its domestic plays in Europe are likely to do best. The exporting sector has already been doing very well, and it will continue to do well as long as the euro is going down, because that is going to bolster their foreign earnings. And obviously, as exporters, that's a very important factor. Then we should also take a look at Bitcoin. It was down about $450 in here today, having done really spectacularly well over the course of the last few days. Now it looks like we're going to get some consolidation. It's right in the region of the trend mean, and it wasn't quite able to hold the move above it. So now the question is how much of this move put in over the last 3 days can it hold during a process of consolidation? We've had some very big upward dynamics, and that is likely to have a stabilizing effect on the market. So I do think we are at the point now where we're starting to get some support coming back in because institutions are starting to line up with custody solutions for the institutional market. And institutional investors haven't really been able to buy Bitcoin. Then, when that is added to the fact that leverage is getting sucked out of the system because the CBOE is removing their Bitcoin cash settled futures, then that's going to bring it back to an unleveraged market. And that's also likely to be rather positive for the price over the medium term. And not only for Bitcoin, but for a substantial number of the altcoins as well. And when we think about the fact that there are a substantial number of elections that are coming up over the course of the next few months, the Indonesian market was steady in here today. The Indian market, having been weak yesterday, has pulled back additionally in here today, but again, not in a particularly dynamic manner. It just looks like some consolidation is underway in the region of the previous peak. And then, of course, the Australian market is also right in the region of its peak and was a little bit softer in here today, but they have their election coming up as well. Well, we have to continue to monitor the political situation in just about any country that we're dealing with for the simple reason that political polarization and populist revolts are happening everywhere. And that is a situation that does definitely need to be monitored. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.